February, a little girl. But just looking at our son now, who also turns 3 in February, it's just astounding to me that another year has flown by, you know, and we kind of take a look back on 2019, and it's almost like a blur. But even as time flies by so fast, I think that it's so important for us as believers of Jesus Christ to learn how to reflect, to learn how to really look back and see the faithfulness of God and all that he has been doing and all that he wants to do in our lives. I believe that God, not in every year, but in every day, in every moment, he wants for us to understand more of who he is. He wants for us to grow in his word, in his truth, but he also wants us to grow together as a family in Christ. Now, maybe you might look back at 2019 and think, I don't really know how God was working. I don't really see that he was working at all. Maybe it was the toughest year of your life, and so you look back and you wonder, how can God be real? How can he be speaking into my life? How can he be doing things when everything kind of just seems like it was the same? And maybe it wasn't the same. Maybe things got worse in 2019. And so you look back and you say, well, that just seems like a year where God was absent. And God says, no, I'm never absent. I'm always with you. I'm always for you. I'm always doing something in you. But sometimes we have to take a moment, maybe even daily, to just reflect and ask, what is it that you're doing, God? What is it that you're teaching me? What is it that you want me to know more about you? And what is it about my life that you want me to dedicate, to give over to you and surrender? Now, nobody knows what 2020 will hold, but God does. He has it all in his hand. He has every day that is numbered in your life in his hand. And so I was thinking about, what is 2020 going to be about? What's a good theme, something to look forward to as a church and as believers of Jesus Christ? Now, if you've known me for any amount of time, I like puns and I like play on words. And I'm sure, you know, I saw a meme that said every church across America is going to come up with this, but 2020 vision, right? So the year 2020, I really believe, is going to be about vision. And I believe that as I'm here, as God called me here to be in DC and with us here at CCC, that he is giving me vision for our church. He's giving me vision specifically for our English ministry, our English congregation, things that he wants to do in our congregation to help us to not only grow within our church as brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to go out into the communities that we live in and also within the city here to reach people for Christ, to reach people with the love of God. And so I want for us to be joined together in prayer, joined together on Sundays, joined together in fellowship, so that we can have this vision together. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray that I would not be leading on my own power or strength or ability, because I know that that will fail. But pray that I would lead in a way where I'm just following Jesus and his calling that he's placed in my life here for this place in history, for this time, for as long as he calls me to do his work faithfully here. And so with this kind of vision, how do we have a 2020 vision, clarity for what God wants for us to do? Well, there's something that we need to do, and it's ultimately, we need to have all the distractions and all the different things that cloud our vision to be cast out, to be turned away, so that our vision can be focused on who Christ is and what he would have us do with our lives. And so today, we're actually going to be looking at a passage in the Gospel of Matthew. And in this passage in Matthew, Jesus gives a series of rebukes to the Pharisees. It's oftentimes called the seven woes. Not like, whoa, but like, whoa, you know, like, oh, whoa, you know, like. And Jesus gives these seven woes to the Pharisees because they're not living right. In fact, they were supposed to be the Pharisees, the teachers of God's law, the model of what it looks like to actually faithfully live for God, but they weren't doing a very good job. You see, they had themselves all together on the outside, and they were very good at giving the laws and giving the rules and perhaps even following them. But you see, God was telling them, there's still something that you're missing. In fact, it's the most important thing that you're missing, because what you are doing as Pharisees, as those who are supposed to be teaching the law and encouraging people to follow the law, instead what you're doing is you're heaping more burden on those who are already hurting. You're not showing the purpose, the motivation, the heart behind the law of God. Rather, you're falling into things like legalism and works-centeredness, that it's about merit and earning somehow your place before God. And Jesus Christ, God himself, the Word become flesh, says, nuh-uh, that's not what faith is about. And so this message today is about repentance. It's resolving to repent, having a resolution as a church and as followers of Christ to live for God in a way where we're continuing to turn back to him in faith. We're repenting. We're believing. And so Matthew chapter 23, we're going to just look at a couple of verses here together. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 26, and this is the word of God. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Let's pray together. God, this is your word, and you want to speak personally to each one of us today. You want to speak to us as a church, but you also want to speak to each one of us personally today. God, no matter how young or how old we are, I pray that we would never get tired of hearing the truth of your word. Every one of us, no matter what life circumstance that we're in, no matter what we might be going through right now, whether it's hardships or easy living right now, no matter what it is, God, I pray that we would focus right now, lay all those things before the cross, and receive your word and your truth so that we can grow in the understanding of repentance, grow in the understanding of what it means to rest in you and find peace and forgiveness that is abounding in you, our Lord. So challenge us today, but encourage us as well. In your name we pray. Amen. So with the new year around the corner, you know, I think it's, I don't know if it's in the Chinese culture as much, but in the American culture, we always do these things every year. We come up with New Year's resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions. And I remember actually a conversation that I had overheard. You know, I wasn't eavesdropping, I promise, but just, you know, I'm just very aware of my surroundings, okay, let's say. So be careful what you're saying. I can hear you right now. But I remember being at this Costco food court, and you know, they still have the $1.50 hot dogs with a drink. I mean, that's just incredible. I could probably preach a whole series, a sermon series on how amazing that is. But that's beside the point. What I want to talk about is a conversation that I overheard these two people having after the new year had passed a few years back. And I remember, I think it was a mother and a son, and they were eating at the food court, and the mother was kind of sharing one of her resolutions about how she wants to get healthier, you know, maybe start exercising more, and maybe cut out some of the relationships that, you know, have been kind of hard on her or toxic, as what some, you know, people might say these days. And a younger man, who I think was her son, you know, he was taking a big heaping spoonful of the ice cream stuff that they have at Costco. And, you know, kind of like with his mouth half full, he was like, uh-oh, I think I just broke my resolution, right? Because he was supposed to stay away from sweets and maybe bad food. And it kind of goes like that, where a lot of times the resolutions that we have for the new year, they often deal with things that are about ourselves, right? And that makes sense, right? Well, I need a resolve to do this. I have a resolution to do this. But what I mean by them revolving around ourselves is oftentimes we think about New Year's resolutions solely as a benefit to us. How can I receive? How can I get better? How can I grow stronger? How can I get smarter? How can I be healthier? X, Y, and Z. But a lot of times those things are kind of encapsulated by external things. External things. You know, there are those who make resolutions to work harder, to get better grades, to get that promotion in their workplace, to move up the ladder in their corporation. Resolutions to shop less, save more money, budget better, count calories better, count macros, whatever it might be. And every year I say the same thing because it sounds like I'm just here to knock on your resolutions or failed resolutions. But I'm here because I want for us as a church and as followers of Christ to look far beyond the external, look far beyond the things that we're just looking to benefit ourselves, and look to what God has for us and what we should be resolving to do as we learn to set everything that we have in our lives upon Him. That our resolutions, that our resolve would not be centered around me, but my hope and prayer is that our resolutions, our resolve, will be centered around Christ who is in us. There's a big difference. You know, we check the motive of our hearts. We check the purpose of why we choose to do this or why we choose not to do these things. All of these things come together and it shows what is in your heart. And we know that the greatest resolve we must have as believers is this constant repentance. And so that's today's message. It's a resolve to repent. Now, I talk about repentance a lot because it's important. I don't shy away from the fact that we have sinful lives, that we have sinful desires. If you are offended by me saying that you have selfishness in your heart, I can't apologize. But if you want to talk with me more afterwards, I'm always available. The reality is this, that there is brokenness in this world. The reality is this, that we often, in our natural state, will care more about what I want, what I feel, what I care for, rather than what does God want, what does He care for in our lives. And so there's just a couple of things that we're going to look at together today in the Word of God. It's this. First thing is this, that you want to check your heart. Very simple. Check your heart. It's basically saying check the motive of your life, why you do this or why you do that. Let me read one more time from this scripture. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean." So here's these Pharisees, again, teachers of the law. I mean, they're the ones who are supposed to be modeling God's grace, modeling God's love, but rather than doing that, what are they busy doing? They're busy trying to puff themselves up. They're busy trying to show that they are right before God, that they're fasting. They're the ones who are praying aloud so that others could hear and say, wow, they're really good at praying. Wow, they're really holy. They're really righteous. And so Jesus comes to them and he says, what's going on here? Check your heart. Check your motives. Check your purpose. Because the word of God, the law, is not meant to drag people down, to take away joy. That's not the word of God. That's not the law of God. The law of God is meant to point us upward towards Christ, towards God. To actually magnify His love and justice for His people. That is the purpose of the law. To point back at Himself, the relationship that we're supposed to have with Him. And the Pharisees simply were not doing that. And so Jesus says, "For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." He's saying what you're concerned about is not God and His glory. He's saying what you're concerned about is not that God would be honored in your life, that God's love and truth would shine through. What you're more concerned about is what people think of you. What you're more concerned about is what people would say of you, what they might think of who you are. And so you're busy polishing the outside. You're busy making yourself, the image of yourself, to look holy and righteous. You're busy trying to prove to other people that you are right with God. And so you pray aloud. You lift your hands up. You fast, and then you tell people that you're fasting so that they know of your holiness. And Jesus says, that is not holiness. He says, woe to you, because what I see in your heart is not what you're trying to show on the outside. I see self-indulgence. I see self-centeredness. I see greed. I see someone who says, I follow God, but in the heart says something far different. There's a lady I knew, and I won't name her, but she always had a very bright smile. And she was very proud of her smile. And, you know, she'd always walk around smiling. It's a great thing. Well, one day, her teeth started to hurt. Her teeth started to hurt. And she wasn't sure what was going on because she took very good care of her teeth. She brushed every day. Every day, maybe 3-4 times a day, she would brush her teeth. And so when her teeth started to hurt, she just brushed harder, did what she could. But when the trouble wouldn't go away, finally she decided, you know what, I'm going to go to the dentist. And so she went in, she got her checkup. And to her shock, she received some very, very bad news from her dentist. And the dentist said, your overall oral health is very poor. And in fact, your teeth are damaged, and you're going to need some work on your teeth. And she pleaded with the dentist, but I brush every day, 3 times, 4 times sometimes, and for 10 minutes, I sing the alphabet 3 times while I'm brushing my teeth. How can this be? And the dentist said, well, how do you brush your teeth? So gave her a toothbrush. Took the toothbrush, she says, just like this. So she's showing how she brushes her teeth. And she was just brushing her teeth, going over and over and over on her teeth, but only on the outside. You see, she was so busy with the part that people can see. The part that when she smiles, others can say, wow, what a beautiful smile. It's so bright. It's like the TV shows, ding, right? You see the little shine on their teeth. And so she was, for 10 minutes, 3-4 times a day, brushing away. But the problem was, is that she never got to the inside, to the underside, to the gum lining, to all the other parts that make the mouth healthy. That's what Jesus is saying to us. What's our teeth, in a figurative way? We're busy shining ourselves often, aren't we? You know, we compare ourselves with the next family. Oh, how are they doing? How big is their house? How nice is their car? How are their kids? Did their kids get into Harvard? Did they get into Princeton? Oh, I need to shine my family up. I need to shine myself up to show other people my value, my worth, what I have to offer, how hard I've worked, the things that I've achieved, the things that I've accomplished. And Jesus says, woe to you if you live like that. If you think that life is all about the outside, the external things, woe to you. You could be the most polished person, went to the perfect college, has the perfect family, and everyone's doing well, but if you don't know Christ, there's something rotten going on inside of you. Because the purpose of your life, you need to check your heart. The purpose of your life is not you, it's Christ. Now, I can repackage this truth in a lot of different ways, but it's the same truth that we're always going to have to remember. It's the same truth that we're going to have to rely upon. So this first point, to check your heart. What have you been living for? Is it just self-improvement? Is even faith or Christianity just a means to improve yourself so that you look a little shinier on the outside? Because that's not what our faith is about. Our faith is about relationship with God. And so you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Wow, what a, you know, I hope that strikes you. For me too, even as a pastor, I got to remember to check my heart daily. You know, am I just kind of wrapped up in fear and anxiety? How is my church, how are my members going to see me? Is that what drives me? You know, I'm up here preaching and I pray, and am I just trying to show you things, or is that really who I am on the inside? I pray every day, God, let that be reality in me, that I'm living in a way that truly reflects who you are. Help me to check my heart again and again. So second thing is this, we check our hearts, and then when we see what we should see when we check our hearts, that we need help, that we need cleansing, then we repent. Okay, so the second thing is simply repent to God. Not just repent, but you have to repent towards something, right? You turn, repent, and you go towards something. That's God for us. And this is what it says again in verse 26. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. So the amazing thing here is oftentimes people will say, man, Jesus is supposed to be loving, but he's harsh on the Pharisees, right? It's like he has these woes that he gives to the Pharisees. How is it that Jesus can say he's loving and that he's so critical of the Pharisees? Well, remember that Jesus is speaking truth to them. And sometimes truth is offensive to those who are not living in the right way. That's just the reality of God's word, the reality of God's truth, that there are going to be times when you're faced with truth and it might offend you. And maybe you might not want to know why, but I guarantee you the reason that God's word may offend you is because there's something about the way that you're living that the Holy Spirit is telling you this is not right. This is not what you should be living for. Repent. Remember the forgiveness of Christ. And so when he talks about this, he says, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. He's talking about, actually, he's referring to some, basically laws, some ceremonial cleansing laws that the Jewish people had about how they ought to wash their plates and their cups before they eat. And if it wasn't washed in the right way, everything, all the food, everything that went upon it would be also considered unclean. And so he's saying, you blind Pharisee, you see their vision is clouded because they're so just wrapped up in themselves. He says, there's no room for that. You need to turn. And the amazing thing of it is they're so blind that Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, is literally right in front of them speaking to them, and still they're failing to see. They're failing to repent and turn to him right then and there. But that's actually the grace of God. Again, he's not being harsh. He's actually being as gracious as he can be because he sees how blind they are. He sees the burden that they're placing upon those around them and saying, you need to stop this. That is not what life is about. That is not what I am about. Repent. Clean first the inside. And who is the only one that could clean first the inside? That is Christ through his death, through his forgiveness, through his resurrection, victory over sin and death. And so it's a reminder, repent, but repent to God. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. I mention this verse often because it's such an awesome verse. As David prays to God wholeheartedly, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any grievous way, any way that offends you, any way that I haven't been living for you, God, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's an honest prayer of true repentance towards God. So that's the question that I have for you. Is your life one with repentance? Are you busy living for yourself and you've gotten real comfortable, real good at getting what you want? And then maybe afterwards saying, hey, God, what did you think about that? Hey, God, I'm going to do all these things, and I just kind of need your stamp of approval, God. That's not how we live our lives. No, we say, God, we know who you are. We know your love. We know your forgiveness. In every action that I make, even before I take it, what is my heart? Is it something that's going to bring me closer to the Lord? And if you've already made a mistake, if you've already went down the wrong road, then repent to God, and he will receive you every single time. That is the grace of God. Let's not get so wrapped up in our self-indulgence, so wrapped up in our essentially greed, it's all about me kind of living, that we lose focus from what we could be doing for the Lord. You know, I read on Twitter about a guy named Tom, and he was in graduate school, and, you know, this is all public information, so I'm not, you know, disseminating any private thing. But he was basically sharing about this one grad school course that he was in, and, you know, there was this guy that he had met on the first day of class, and they ended up sitting next to each other. And it wasn't any assigned seating or anything like that, so that just kind of became Tom's seat. And that was the same seat that he would go and sit in. But this one guy that he met, who was clearly a student, a foreign exchange student, you know, every time in the subsequent classes, he would always have all of his belongings on Tom's seat, the seat that Tom would sit on. And it would always be stacked up high, and so he'd walk into the class, and there was this other classmate, and he'd be like, oh, you made it to class today. And he would scurry and take up all of his things and move it so that Tom could sit down. And well, Tom, throughout the course of the semester, he just started getting really annoyed. He's like, look, man, right? He never said this, but this is what he's thinking. Look, man, every day I come into our class, and you always have your stuff on my seat. That's what he's thinking, because it's happening over the course of a whole semester, and because it was a very popular class, it was always crowded, right? But one day, he was running late, and he was finishing up something on his phone, perhaps tweeting about something. But the class had kind of been packed up, and as he looked inside this grad school kind of big auditorium in this class that he was a part of, he saw that fellow classmate, and there were the books stacked up right beside him in the seat that Tom normally sat in. And as he looked inside and he was finishing up something on his phone, he saw at least a few different people come and ask if they could sit in that seat. And each time they would have some kind of conversation, and those people would move on and try to find another seat. And so finally he walks in and he says, hey, Tom, you made it. And he gathered all of those things that were on that seat and said, come on, have a seat. The conversation that this classmate had had with those who talked with him and then moved on actually was that this classmate had said, oh, actually, this is where my friend Tom sits. And so he was saving that seat for Tom. And so Tom, on Twitter, he's kind of hashing out his feelings, like his revelation that he, who had been annoyed with this guy, why does he always have to put his stuff on the seat that he knows I'm going to sit in every single time? And all along, the heart of that friend, that classmate, was to save the seat for him to sit. And so Tom said on that day when he realized that he felt like such a fool, it took him a whole semester to actually say, hey, man, you know, you want to grab a bite to eat? And so they went out and ate. And there began a relationship, a friendship together. So how does this story all tie into what we're talking about here? When we're so lost in ourselves, when we're so stuck on what I want, my complaints, this isn't going right, that isn't going right, gosh, this, now that, oh my gosh, what next? When we're so stuck on ourselves, which is self-indulgence, which is actually greed, where everything is about me, then we can miss out on what's going on around us. We can miss out on what God is actually doing in our lives. So that's what I want to say to us here. As we go into the year 2020, as I pray for vision for our church, as I pray for clarity for our church, I pray that we don't go by each day so stuck on what we are doing, all about me, 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 that we miss out on the heart of God that says, even with all these things going on in your life, even if all these things are in the seat that you want, can you see that God is doing something? He's wanting to establish, show you, grow you in the relationship that he has brought to you by the grace of his son, Jesus Christ. So don't get so lost in yourselves that you miss out on what God's trying to show you, on the relationship that he wants to have with you. He wants you to grow in the new year. Now, I know not all of us here use apps on our phones and things like that, but there's a Bible app with several different Bible reading plans. Read the Bible. That's one of the biggest things that we learn ever since we're little, when we're paying attention. Ever since we're little, learning how to read the Bible, being faithful to reading the Word of God. So do you do that in your life? I don't care how young or how old you are. That is one clear-cut way that as we repent to God and turn towards him and we want to grow in this relationship that he wants for us to understand and know is to be in his Word. So whether you do it through your app or you just do it the old-fashioned way, it's on your little calendars, whatever it might be, plan to get into the Word of God. Plan to get into a time of prayer with him. And you know, there's some Bible apps that keep streaks, right? It's like daily streaks of how many days have you at least opened the app, okay? Now, there's some ways to work around it. If you miss a day, you can change the clock on your phone to go back and then click and then, you know, move back forward. And I've heard people doing that, but it's like, well, what does that really do? Like, gotcha, God. No, he knows, right, that you didn't read it each day. But again, not to make it a legalistic thing, like if you don't read the Bible every day, somehow now you are a failure, you are not a Christian. No, but because you have the heart that says, I know that even these things are not about just following the rules, but they're about the relationship that God wants for us to grow in with him. So if God moves in your heart, commit to that. Be in the Word and be in prayer in the upcoming new year. I know this is a very simple message, right? Check your heart and then repent. But when you do that, something happens. Not only for you, but it's actually the best thing that could happen for you as you grow in the Lord. But as you are being filled with his truth, as you're growing in your understanding of him, now other people around you are going to benefit. They're going to see the love of God shining through you. They're going to experience the grace of God in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's with parents, grandparents, with friends, with classmates. If you're living for the Lord, I promise you, if you're learning how to check your heart and repenting and turning towards God and making life not about yourself, but about God and his honor and his glory, people around you will take notice. And they're going to change as you change in the Lord. That's the prayer I have for our church as we go forward into 2020. I hope that you will also have the same resolution and resolve to repent. Let's pray together. Just take one moment. Right now, you can do the two things that I talked about in today's message. One, check your heart. And then two, repent. Have you been living for God? That's the first question. Check your heart. Have you been living for self-glory, selfish indulgence, or have you been living for God and his glory, what he would have you do in your life? When you follow God, it doesn't mean that everything will work out or everything will look very good and everything will be without pain or hard work or difficulty. But what it does mean is that he will be with you throughout the whole way, strengthening you and encouraging you. That's the love of God. So can you just take a moment right now and just pray? Check your heart. If you know that you haven't been following the Lord or living for him, pray right now and ask that he will give you that heart. Yeah, so could you just take a moment to pray for that? How do you want your 2020 to be? Same old, days go by, we're busy with different schedules, and then, hey, another year in the books. Or would you be willing to check your heart? Would you be willing to check your heart and repent so that there could be so much more for your life? So much revelation in your life. It's just revealing God's awesome plan for you and His love for you. Just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your word. Would You help it to go deep in our hearts, Lord? I believe that there are people here right now that they're being very challenged by Your word. I pray that they would take the next step and truly repent. Lord, too many of us fall into the Pharisees' ways, where even what once perhaps started with a heart that wanted to follow You, we turn it into things that glorify ourselves and it's all about us. May our lives not be motivated by this world. May be motivated by who You are in us. So help us to check our hearts constantly and to repent, receiving Your encouragement and Your love again and again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's rise and we're going to sing a song of response. And this song is a very simple song.